actually a great and awful question, because my answer is going to be really bad. But I was in California when the hurricane happened, and I lived in Philly for 15 years, and I used to live in Jersey for 5 years. Five of those 15, I was in South Jersey. I used to go to the shore all the time. The summer of 2010, I was there like every weekend the entire summer. And so I kind of fell in love with the area on its own. And the funny thing is, I was already writing this movie about a chef trying to save his family's restaurant after the recession, after the economic crash. And the way that happens in movies, they take years and years to get made. So I was writing a story about a chef and how the changing American economy was taking all these, you know, things, these family businesses that have been around for 50, 60 years, and they were starting to die out. And I was trying to tell the story of this third generation chef of this family trying to keep this thing alive. How does he keep that alive? That was the root of the story, funny enough. And I had already written, like, I was on, like, we shot, like, draft 17 of this movie. That's, like, you know, that's how it goes when you work on it. You keep rewriting. So I was on, like, draft 3 when Hurricane Sandy hit. I was actually, funny enough, I was just in California for a week for, like, I was living here, but I was out there for, like, meetings and stuff. And then Hurricane Sandy hit, and I came back. So my experience was just that I was delayed a day and was, like, watching the news and, like, you know, like, texting everyone here. But the second it happened, you know, my first thought was, oh, shit. I mean, A, oh, shit, this is happening. And then B, what am I going to do? Just, like, change the whole movie. And then I actually said, no, this actually takes the movie I was writing and makes it so much better. It makes it so much richer. It takes the theme of what do you do after a disaster, which at first was just, you know, economic disaster, which happens to all of us, to a very specific, what do you do in the wake of this? So it basically took the same things I was working on and we wrote the story. And the funny thing is, it's the third anniversary we're playing it here today, but we were shooting it a year after Sandy, which is, again, fast in the movie world. So that visual you see in the movie was the, like, the one-year anniversary of Sandy, which we were lucky was right in the middle of shooting, so we were able to go and the community, like, let us kind of be a part of it.
Folks in the crowd, yeah, right up there, Carl.
How did you raise the budget, and what was it?
I get that question every time. My producers will shoot me in the face 5 times if I say the exact number. It's under $1 million. And I get that question every time, and the answer, honestly, is any way you can. Meaning there's no, you know, in film financing, there's the, you're an established producer, and your friends with Bruce Willis, and Bruce Willis signs on your action movie, and you can get $3 million in foreign sales. Or there's the, you have a rich uncle. I have neither Bruce Willis or a rich uncle. And actually, most of my uncles are here, so sorry to throw you out of the bus. If you want to finance, who knows? But I'm from the shrinking American middle class. So we basically went out for two. My first movie took over 2 years to raise the funds. This one took maybe a year and a half. Although it takes 2 or 3 years if you count the fact that we were still fundraising all throughout post, you know, is the way these things are. And it's just bit by bit. You go out and tell your story, convince people that it's a story worth telling, and that they can take a risk and get involved with you. And honestly, too, you know, it's independent film, so it doesn't get made, you know, purely just from, you know, we had straight investors, we had people who gave gifts, we had New Jersey State Production Tax Credits, which actually were ended. We were one of the last films to get one. We got with the last year's existence. So all those things are key in getting a film like this made, you know, that isn't like kind of a straight commercial product. So yeah, really every which way we could. I mean, the number of ways, and there are a number of people who finance this film. There are so many special thanks. There are a number of people who finance these films. Again, I won't point them out, but there's more than one person in this room who, again, helped financially with the film. We obviously are so grateful for that because it wouldn't happen otherwise. So it's just, you just go out there and just keep pitching it. You get turned down a lot, and some people, like Alex says in the movie, you know, believe in you're crazy and give you a shot, and then you have a movie.
Yeah. Why did you want to write about a chef? Do you cook? And also, who is your food stylist, and how did you find them?
Good questions. Great. I haven't done a special before exactly. I like to cook. I don't think I'm not as good as that. So I like to cook. I mostly like to eat. And really, for me, it was more, it was a bit the story of what it's like for me to get a movie made. Again, like, there's a lot of, you know, echoing, but that crazy process of having a dream that doesn't exist, you can't see it. You know, when a chef dreams of a dish, you can't see it until he or she has made it and cooked it and the person tastes it. You only realize when you taste it. Just like right now, you only really experience a movie when you watch it. And so for me, it was really like that experience of getting people to believe in your crazy, the kind of ups and downs of fighting for your dream, even when there are a number of setbacks. That's really, for me as a writer, it's more telling what it's like to get a movie made. And because I love eating and I love restaurants, and the Jersey Shore is so synonymous with seafood, and Philly is like one of the most amazing culinary cities in the world. Like, it really is. So I guess I was just in that culture, and it seemed like a perfect metaphor, something that I obviously loved, and hopefully you enjoyed, like, watching, you know, the, like, wild mouth-watering dishes on the screen. The stylists, we actually had two great stylists. First, we had, most of the dishes in the movie are actual dishes from Stephen Cookies. So Cookie of Stephen Cookies, yes, they're in the Jersey Kitchen. Cookie of Stephen Cookies was wonderfully supportive. We shot some of the dad's restaurant is Stephen Cookies in Margate, New Jersey. And she let us shoot there. She fed the crew late at night several times, and she also let her chefs, we basically used her dishes. One of her sous chef trained Hunter Parrish for 2 days, like a crash course, like how to slice and how to cook and stuff. And,
yeah, you look good doing it, too.
Good, that's good. And then the other part of that is we actually did some reshoots in L.A., so I have to give credit to Dakota, her last name, but she's named Chef Dakota, and she's at the W in Westwood, and she came out for free one day. We had a one-day reshoot, and several scenes in that kitchen, like that fish dish she made at the beginning, the roasted fish, that was her. And that was a little movie magic, that one. They, like, cooked it, but it looked kind of, like, awful and saggy and, like, dead. So then they charred the edges, and they, like, paint, like, they did true food style, so then stylisting, and it really worked. So I give props to Chef Dakota as well. And somebody else's name, I forgot who helped her, but she's in the credits. Sorry for that person.
Thank you.
Was your first movie, I have a question and a comment. Was your first movie?
Thank you. I'll tell you a bit about both. My first movie is, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm really glad you had a good time, and I hope the rest of you did too. You're still here, so proper. My first movie is called Lebanon, PA. It was picked up. We premiered at South by Southwest Film Festival. It was here in Philly in 2010. Came out in 2011. We're at the Ritz for 2 weeks, the Ritz Force. So that one, we did get out in theaters on Showtime. It's out now. Lebanon, PA. Here's my pitch. It's on iTunes and Verizon Fios and DVD. Amazon.com right now. So if you haven't seen it yet and you like this movie, please do go check it out. That would be much appreciated. This movie we are in the process of selling now. We think it's going well. We have more of a TV deal coming together. The business is changing very quickly, and it's very hard to get movies in theaters unless you have a lot of money. I could go on for 40 for an hour on that, but basically this is going to be probably more of a hopefully cable TV movie. Maybe we'll do a few limited theaters. But we're working on that now. So Lebanon, PA, and this is a rising tide. It'll come out next year, I hope. And then in terms of the soundtrack, amazing composer Ronan Landa in Los Angeles. He played a lot of the instruments himself. We luckily got a two-hour session with the Budapest Art Orchestra in Budapest, because we couldn't afford an American orchestra. So we got 2 hours with them, and they basically like Skyped in, and they did, so all the orchestra music in the movie is them, which was amazing. And then they licensed a bunch of songs. Tried to get Springsteen, you know, that didn't happen. That would have been like, even a budget. I mean, one Springsteen song was going to be like a quarter of the budget of this film. We talked to like a label, we were like, okay, you know. So, you know, we wanted to get Springsteen in there, and, you know, Jersey, and it's just, you know, couldn't do it. So we have a number of bands, including the song I love in the middle montage is called, I'll put it up on the Facebook page later. I forgot. But he was great. And they gave us Strand of Oaks. Strand of Oaks is the I love that montage.
Where do you get, or how did you do the films of the storm? Are they another hurricane, or are they some news? Where did all that come together from?
Very good question. There's a number of parts. Actually, I have to get, is Steve still here? Steve Braun? There we go. Okay, so there are a number of different sources for the footage in the movie. When you see our actors, the night of the storm, that is, we shot that at Stephen Cookies, we had rain towers and a wind machine, like put the wind in their hair, and then the wide shots with the water is CGI, so that is CGI. Again, we had a friend who was going to do a favor, and they looked at the shots and went, oh my, so that seems a little choppy, I apologize. Believe me, in my brain, it was amazing, grandiose, and perfect, and it's a little choppy now, because then you go to like do what you're going to do, and they're like, oh God, that's going to cost $100,000, and we go, okay, we don't have $5,000, how do we do this? And you kind of cut it apart, and we eventually got a little commercial special effects company to do a favor and do those like four shots we have in the movie for like $5,000. So those are CGI.
What
CGI? CGI, computer computer graphics, computer graphics. So the water is actually all fake. That's computer graphics. When you see our actors there. Then we have stock footage in the movie, definitely. We got some, not news footage per se, but we got some user-submitted footage. We got just a number of different sources of, like, shots of the storm. Especially the end credits, there's a lot of stock footage in that. The opening, you know, the movie, we combined a bunch of different kinds of footage. And then, including that helicopter shot, was lucky. I found a guy who had happened to go out and do some drone flying right after the storm, and we got his footage. He donated his footage very nicely. And then Steve Perron here in the back is a DP in Philly, who a lot of the really beautiful, like, composed aftermath footage, not the flooding itself, but the aftermath, the wrecked houses, etc. Steve had luckily shot a PSA for a company, and we sent out a help message. Because when we were doing rough cuts of the movie, we had, like, still photos in there that looked awful, you know, because we didn't have footage. And luckily, Steve replied through a friend on Facebook and also kindly donated his footage, and the company that had produced the PSA allowed that to happen, which is a big deal for us, because, again, we have no budget, and so in... a lot of those beautiful shots for Steve, which is like, I'm glad he's here, because it really, originally I was like, can we use like two or three of your shots? And now it's like, I mean, how many shots for the movie? It's like a lot of shots. So thank you, Steve. So he did a great job. Tell your friends playing tomorrow, and please follow us on Facebook. We come out next year, and we'll need you all to spread the word when we come out.